which is entitled simply His Exceeding Greatness and Power, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 that was read in your hearing this morning. I imagine that most everybody that's here right now would probably relate with me when I say that when I was young, there were times in my life when I just felt totally alone. I felt totally powerless. And I felt as though nobody was going to be able to help me. I felt that I was unable to stand up on my own against the assaults and the assailants and the things that were directed towards me from others in this world. But the definitive word there is the word felt. I want you to think about that. I felt alone. I felt powerless. I felt as though I was unable to stand up against others. But now I'm a little bit older, and some of you can relate to that. I'm a little bit older, and now I realize no matter how weak I am, no matter what kind of illness I may have, no matter how I feel, the one thing that is always true . The one staple in my life is I can always lean on the power of God, and that will never change. And this is true for every child of God. And for this reason, we have full assurance from God that God is able to do exceedingly more and abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We have that. And we should be able to rest ourselves in that. Are you listening? Think of this. We know also that He has accomplished all these things by His exceeding greatness and power. Are you listening? By His exceeding greatness and His power. And let that sink in for a moment. Just let it get into your mind and into your heart. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, just imagine. This morning we talked about creation. Was anything too hard for the Lord? Spencer said that some people think that creation could not have taken 6 days because God is immense and powerful and with exceeding greatness, and He could have just done it in one day. Well, He didn't. But would it be impossible? Not with God. God could have just, in all the things that are created, could have been done. Imagine that. Let that sink in. Imagine how that God that we serve had created everything by speaking it into existence. And no matter what we ask of God, He is more than able, according to His will, to do for us more than we could ever possibly imagine. He is that powerful. Therefore, we who love God know that He will accomplish His good according to His purpose. And it will come to pass. Romans 8:28. His good is going to happen because He's God. And we, as a result of that, are able, of Philippians 4 and 7, we're able to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. We can have that. And that will guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's an amazing thing when we think about God and His power and His majesty, as the Scripture says, His exceeding greatness and power. And the Scripture is packed full hand of firsthand testimonies and records of his great power, his exceeding greatness and his power. Think about Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah, chapters 8 and 9. Ezra in chapter 8, they've got the book of the law there. Ezra reads and explains from the book of the law, and the people are listening to this from morning until midday. Right? There's no limit, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, morning to midday. And in verse 14, they discover that the Lord had commanded the children of Israel that they should dwell in booths on the feasts of the seventh month. And so what do you think they did? They obeyed God. And all who returned from captivity, all who were there, they heard the book of the law. They heard the explanation. And it's no wonder that in chapter 9 of Nehemiah and verse 5 that the people stood together, that it said they stood up and they blessed the Lord forever and ever. Because his exceeding greatness and power. And then as you go to the end there and you think about the verse 32 of Nehemiah chapter 9. And if you look there, the people, they confessed their sins. And after proclaiming God was gracious and merciful, in Hebrew, they called out this, Elohim El. Elohim El, which is translated God, our God. And it's followed by the great and mighty and awesome. God, our God. The great and mighty awesome. Young's literal says, our God, God, the great, the mighty, and the fearful. That's our God. And through all the trials, we gain strength if we just trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In James chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, James talks about, or the verses 2 and 3, James says that we are going to have trials and temptations, but we need to let the trials teach us that we may be perfect. And we need that. We need the trials. And then God can use those in our lives to help us and establish us and build us up according to his good will. And so we're all going to have the trials and temptations. But the more closer we get to God through his word, his powerful word, we will recognize this. We will rely upon his great power to get us through the trials and through all the illnesses of life and as it is in Job's life. Remember Job? We all know Job. Look at Job chapter 23 and verses 8 through 10 with me. Job 23, 8 through 10. And we're going to see something amazing. Job 23, verses 8 through 10. God says, look, I go forward, but, or Job says, look, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. And when he works on the left hand, I can't behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what that's teaching us? God is always there. You can't physically see him like a lot of people claim today. Not going to happen, but he's always there. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to his word, the more we recognize this truth. And then we rely on his great power instead of our own. Hope is rooted in trusting God. Hope is rooted in the power of God. Hope is integral to living a Christian life for every one of us. You think about Job. He looks to the left, he's not there. He looks to the right, he's not there. He looks behind him, he's not there. But he looks in front of him, he's not there. But what he knows is that he'll be tested and he'll come out forth like gold. That's the power of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 again with me. As we look at Ephesians chapter 1 and we're looking at verses 19 through 21, Paul gives an understanding by the Spirit that he may know of the power of God working toward every believer. And notice with me in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. It wasn't enough. And you think about this verse, it was not enough for the Apostle Paul. He didn't say, and what is the greatness of his power? You see that? He didn't say that. He said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Paul puts a Greek word in front of all this. We got Job here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Paul puts, let me get the technology working again. There we go. Paul puts this word in front of the word greatness. He puts a word there, hyperbolon, which is the Greek word, which means to surpass, exceed, and excel far beyond. So the full idea here is two Greek words, hyperbolon and methos, which means God possesses immense power that goes beyond anything we can imagine, anything we can measure. It's a super abounding, surpassing power, high above anything that we can possibly accomplish ourselves. Therefore, God is more than enough. So why did Paul choose that combination of words? It's a very special combination. That word power, megathos, is only used one time, and that's by Paul. He must have searched his soul deep and to just find this one combination of words that could possibly, in the English language, describe God's power. You think of the magnitude of his omnipotence, his power, the splendor of his glory, all together, beyond the infinite. In fact, our finite, limited minds, frankly, are inadequate. We just don't have the ability to fully comprehend and understand our God, his exceeding greatness and power. You know, just think. God spoke the universe into existence. He raised Jesus from the dead. And he put all things under the feet of Jesus and gave him to be head. You hear that? He was head over all things to the church. And the same Lord, speaking of future descendants of David the king, in Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 22, that same God said, as the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, as the sands of the seashore measured, so we multiply the descendants of my servant David. Are you listening to that? Because it was the same Creator God. It was the same Creator who put the stars in the heavens. We read that this morning in Genesis chapter 1, 16 through 18. And in Psalm 147 and 4, this same God, he counts the stars and names every one. Put yourself in Job's place. And you think about Job. Imagine how humbled he was as you read chapters 38, 39, and 40. And we want to take it and make it very personal. I want to go back to this. right here. Put yourself in Job's place. God says to you, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And then he asks you, tell me if you have any understanding. You see that? God's talking to you. Who determined the measure? Surely you know that, right? Put yourself in Job's place. Who outstretched the line upon it? What was its found? Where was its foundations fastened? And or who laid its cornerstones when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you? I think that's very humbling as we think of that. And the psalmist said, seek the Lord in his strength and his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. You see, we need to remember constantly on a regular basis. So, what we want to do now is we just read and be encouraged. Remember the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Think with me about that Red Sea event. Every time we meditate on these things, every miracle that we think about, every wonder that's recorded for us, it will help encourage us and strengthen us. And when we read these things over and over and over again, his spirit becomes intermingled with ours. We find harmony with ourselves and with God. And when we think about the Red Sea and what Moses did, Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And right after that, he said, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And after that, the Red Sea parted. Think about Joshua and how they came into the land that God had promised their fathers, and they crossed over on dry land into this land of Canaan, and they defeated the armies that were before them. That's what they did. By the powerful hand of God, Joshua was able to take that land. The Canaanites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Hivites, they all were defeated, weren't they? And they were defeated by the power of God. In verse 6, do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow, about this time, I will deliver them all slain before Israel. You see, God was before them. God was before them. And it's all summarized in verses 16 through 23 that God did these great things. And let's not forget Daniel and the den of lions. We all know that, a particular account in Daniel chapter 6. Remember in verse 22, the angel of the Lord shut the mouths. He shut the lions' mouths. They couldn't hurt Daniel. The power of God was able from heaven to send his messenger down and shut the lions' mouths. And in another study, maybe sometime, we'll talk about those messenger, this messenger, which I believe was Jesus. We'll save that for another time. But he shut the mouths of those lions to save Daniel alive because of his faith. What about the resurrection of Jesus? Imagine the great, immense, exceedingly greatness and power of God to be able to raise anyone from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus, God raised Jesus. Just imagine that in John chapter 20. Certainly that demonstrated the exceeding greatness of his power. Certainly it did. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, but his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. What is that living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What amazing power. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 talks about the three angels in that first angel that he talks about there, John writes, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. We have received the everlasting gospel." Each of us has that. You know, in 1 Peter, when he uses that word, begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we learn about this imperishable, incorruptible word. It's a word that can't decay. It's a word that never grows old. It's a word that is imperishable. It's a word that can't be liable or corrupted. That's the precious word of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." He uses those words, shall not perish but have everlasting life, zoe-ionion. That means life like God's have life, like God has life forever, without end, unperishable, imperishable, uncorrupted, not liable to corruption or decay. That's the kind of life we want, and it can only come because of the power of God. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with me, and it will scan through Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. What we'll see in verse 2 is that right away there was a great multitude of peoples, nations that were coming up against Jehoshaphat. A great multitude of people. And you know, when you think about these people, they weren't coming over there to shake hands. They weren't coming over there to have tea. They were coming over there to destroy him. In verse 3, we read that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. That's the first thing he did when he heard that people were coming. He set himself to seek the Lord. There is a principle. In verse 6, Jehoshaphat, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God? Are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? And your land hand is there not? Is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you?" He has power and might. No one's able to withstand him. Another principle. In verse 12, he says, our eyes are upon you. In verse 15, "For the battle is not yours, but God." It doesn't belong to us. In verse 21, "His mercy endures forever." And in verse 30, "The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around." Now think about this. Think about what is, when we think about this account, what do we learn for ourselves? How do we apply this? Well, the fact is that when we have troubles that come our way, and we always will, we look to God and we say, "Our God, you alone rule over all things. Your hand is always there. Exceeding greatness and power is yours, and no one's able to withstand you." We also can say, "I have no power, but my eyes are upon you, Lord. I look up into heaven and I trust you. I will not be afraid. I will not be dismayed because the battle is not mine. I need to put down my armor. I need to let go." We studied that in Psalm 46. "Be still and know that I am God." We need to just let it go. We need to cast all our cares upon the Lord, knowing that he cares for us. Now think about that. We can say, "Lord, I will praise you, knowing that your mercy endures forever." Right now, you can say these words. If you will trust in his exceeding greatness and power, these things can be yours. Your heart can rest in the Lord. And you'll know like Jehoshaphat knew, and you'll find comfort and resolve. Remember that he had rest and peace because he trusted God. You'll be able to sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19, and your realm, like Jehoshaphat's, will be quiet. For God will give you rest all around. And we apply these principles to our lives, to all the troubles. And we think about Paul in his writings of Philippians chapter 4, verses 7, and in verse 9, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. What's going to happen? It'll be yours. It'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, I say, praise God. How do we involve God in our troubles? How do we learn from these things, from God? Well, the truth is, we need to put an axe to our minuscule attempts at solving all our own problems, at controlling our own lives by our own power. We need to trust in God. We need to trust in the Spirit of God, that He is perfect in our weakness. We're made perfect, or He's made perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 19 and verse 2. That's what Paul said. God's power is perfected in our weakness. And we need that. We need to cast all our cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. Remember the disciples? Weren't the disciples overwhelmed when there were 5,000 people sitting around fainting and being hungry? Nothing to eat, too far to go home, and they couldn't figure out how we're going to feed these people. And then they turned to the Lord in John chapter 6. In verses 1 through 14, they turned to the Lord with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, and no one went home hungry. That's the exceeding greatness of power. Not one person went home hungry, and they had food left over. Remember Joshua, when he stood before the walls of Jericho, he trusted that the battle was the Lord's plan. In Joshua chapter 6, he trusted God. He trusted the exceeding greatness of God's power, and the walls came tumbling down. One last point, and the lesson will be yours. We need constant, vigilant prayer. Every saint, daily, needs constant and vigilant prayer. Prayer. It's an imperative that this kind of prayer be a vital part of your day, every day, all throughout the day. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, what did he say? Your will be done. That's what Jesus taught us, and he wants us to pray. Because he told us in Matthew 7 through 8, ask and you'll receive, or everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened. And he went on to say, everyone who, as you knock, continue knocking, or continue seeking, and continue asking, and you will receive these things. He made it, he used a sense of the Greek language, the present participle active. And that means that it's something that's got to be ongoing to show us that we never stop asking, we never stop seeking, and we never stop knocking. It's that kind of persistent prayer that helped Peter in Acts chapter 12 to be freed from prison. They stood in that house and prayed persistent prayer for Peter's release, and he was released. And remember Paul's admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. You cannot reach God without the combination of studying, remembering, and applying the Word, and constant prayer. Therefore, no matter what happens to us in this old sinful world, the faithful will always have access to His exceeding greatness and power that helps us and comforts us. We can have resolve and be resolute because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that an amazing thing? That's who we serve. Because we assuredly know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11, verse 15. And this same Jesus, do you know that this same Jesus will grant to everyone who comes to Him in faith and obedience an inheritance in heaven. If you're in Christ, if you've been baptized in Christ, and you continue to live obedient through eternity, will come. And you're kept by the power of God through faith. The salvation is ready to be revealed at the last time, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. You have assurance of those things. The mighty, exceeding greatness of power is going to come down out of heaven and take you up home. Remember the song we sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God"? Remember the words, "The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still." Not everything happens, nothing that happens in this world can ever outweigh the exceeding glory of God in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17, if you look at that, Paul said, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our time on this earth, this light affliction is just for a moment, a twinkling of an eye, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory because of His exceeding greatness and power." And if you're not a child of God, you need to come to God by faith and obedience and be baptized this very day. And you can be a part of this. Today, you can take part of His exceeding greatness and power, the salvation of the Lord. And when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In His Father's house are many mansions," and you can be there. On the day of the Lord, if you'll just come and obey Him today. Do you have a need? Come forward as we stand and as we sing.